8-6. This is the Phil Henry Show.
You know what? I try to be open-minded. I try to be as giving as I can. I try to be as magnanimous as I can be. I try to open my eyes and my ears, because most my thing is I'm filled with self-doubt. So I figure I'm wrong most of the time. People will say, no, you're wrong, Phil. Bjork's dress was fantastic. Oh, okay. Remember when she wore the swan dress last year? And I'm like, Jesus, the thing is, oh, I love it. I think it's daring. It's daring. What's wrong with you? All right, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Jesus, can't you open up and be free and just be unpredictable? God, I'm sorry. I just thought it looked like a dopey dress. She's exciting. I love her. Or the one that I hear from some people now that I've kind of moved into the world of TV. Not much. You know, I'm not going to parties yet, but I hear this now. I hear people say this. Oh, God, I'd love to write a show for her. Yeah. You hear that. That's a TV thing you hear. Oh, God, Bjork. Is it Bjork? I'd love to write a show for her. Anyway, I try to open my mind. I try, but I just can't do it. Whoopi Goldberg sucks. She ain't funny. The best thing she did this year was just moved it along. Just, okay, yeah, got the Smith Brothers joke. Good. Please don't play back on it now. Please don't bust the fourth wall and reference how funny you are. Please don't. Oh, God, she did it again. And here's the Smith family. That's funny. Okay, dig that. Maggie Smith and Jada, whatever the hell her name is, and Will Smith. And then she's got to glance up at the crowd and kind of wait for them to go. So in other words, the initial laugh wasn't enough. She needs to get the second laugh from, like, giving them that cutesy poo, Oliver Hardy, slow burn into the camera, I'm breaking the fourth wall, aren't I funny laugh. Just get the first laugh. Go back. Keep going. But you're right. The reason why I don't like her, I don't like black people. And I never have. I don't like them hosting the Academy Awards. Let them win their award. Let them have their little best actress. But please keep them off the stage as hosts. For those of us who just don't like them, for those of us who have a hard time communicating with them and being around them. See, that's it. It's not that I don't like Whoopi. I just don't like blacks. So see, Whoopi, it's not you. It's fine. So here's a question I had. I don't know. I'd be curious to know, although we may cut this off within 2 minutes, of all the crap that's ever gone on in an Academy Award, what in an Academy Awards telecast or ceremony, what can you do without? You know what I'm saying? What can they trim, clip? I bet they probably do focus groups every year. There's a wonderful piece from ABC News here. And this is the Oscar Blunder Hall of Fame. Different things that have happened, different so-called disasters. The fairy tale disaster where they go to Rob Lowe in perhaps the most embarrassing Oscar opening. The 88 organizers scripted a song and dance routine between Snow White and Lowe, who was introduced as her blind date. You know, I saw that, and while it was goofy, I don't know what was so horrific about it. It was just about as dopey as having Whoopi Goldberg fly in on a swing, dressed in Moulin Rouge and... The guy that streaked it, the 75, some nude guy ran across the stage, Craig. Did you hear about that? It was back in like 75, back when people ran naked every place. It was a kick. Don't ask me about it, man. But for some reason, like in the mid-70s, people would take their clothes off. Did I do it? Yeah, I took my clothes off when I took a shower, and then I put them back on. I was at a party one time, I'll never forget. This was in the mid-70s, right in the middle of the streaking thing. And this guy walks by me nude, and I go, what are you doing? He goes, easiest $5 I ever made. And he just walked into the middle of the party and walked back. Because apparently someone said, if you take your clothes off, I'll give you $5. Oh, okay. So I took his clothes off, walked to the... Anyway... The Brevity is the Soul of Wit Award to Alfred Hitchcock and Joe Pesci. After winning the Irving Thalberg Award in 67 in recognition of his illustrious career, Hitchcock muttered thank you and walked off stage. Good for him. 23 years later, after winning Best Supporting Actor, Joe Pesci did the same thing. Only two guys have done that in the history of the Oscars. Just walk up and say thanks and split. So Taylor's idea is this. Pre-tape the acceptance speeches. You have everybody that's nominated do, what do they give them, 2 minutes? They give them a minute? do 2 minutes, everybody. And you say, well, how can they look really excited? Well, that proves how good of an actor they are, okay? Pretend like you just won. Now give us a speech. Thank you very much. And then for kicks, the day after, we can run all the ones of the people that didn't win and laugh at them. That would be bitching. I know a lot of you are thinking, and you're probably right, much of the post-Oscar criticism comes from people who are embittered, whose lives are not nearly as rich as those of our professional actors and actresses who work in films. We don't make the kind of money that they make. We don't party the way they party. We don't drive the kind of cars they drive. We don't have the kind of clothes. We don't have the kind of beautiful girlfriends or handsome, exciting boyfriends that they have. That's exactly correct. We don't have any of that. This is the only thing we have to be able to make fun of you. So let us do it. Nature calls it to Meryl Streep, who left her just-claimed Oscar for Kramer versus Kramer on the back of a toilet during the 1979 festivities. Roberto Benigni, the 1998 double Oscar winner, best actor, best foreign film for Life is Beautiful. In broken English, he proclaimed, "My body is in tumult. I would like to be lying down and making love to everyone." And then, in the most embarrassing Oscar moment, Roberto Benigni laid down on stage and masturbated. The people said, you know, you can't really do that. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Yeah, no, you can't really do that, man. Please. It was rather embarrassing, but you remember that when Roberto Benigni came up on stage and did that? Come on, man. This is America. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Put it back in your pants. Get out of here. But that's nothing compared to, you remember in 96 when Whoopi Goldberg came out and urinated on stage, and then, you know, it got a laugh, I got to give it to her, but that's the kind of thing where they're a little bit over the top. Hey, Are You Guys Against Me Award, 1964 presenter Sammy Davis Jr., who was handed an envelope for the wrong award. Representatives from Oscar's counting unit at Price Waterhouse had to rush on stage to stop him from blurting out a mistake. He quipped, wait till the NAACP hears about this. And just other things that they screwed up on. So I don't know, stuff they could do without. But our idea is to take the acceptance speeches, pre-tape all of them, then the guy lays it out there, whoever wins, and the other ones get put onto a reel, and we watch them the next night on like a Barbara Walters special, and we laugh our asses off at all the schmucks that didn't win. That's one of the things that I'd like to see done. The other thing that I think I'd like to, and I don't think I'm you know, stating anything that's revolutionary here. Why don't we have the hosts of the show, like the Whoopi Goldbergs and those guys, just get rid of those guys and go back to having just regular hosts. Like, remember when Tom Cruise came out and said something, then somebody else comes out and says something, then somebody else comes out and says something. Otherwise, when she was introducing the movies last night, I don't care what it was, whether it was In the Bedroom or it was the one that won A Beautiful Mind, you know, Beautiful Mind's about a schizophrenic. But you wouldn't know it listening to her because she was, like, she's making fun of people with mental illness and stuff. I don't know. I just wanted to strangle her, that's all. I think I would have felt better if had I been able to go on stage and strangle Whoopi Goldberg. Then I think it would have been fine. But unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to do that. They wouldn't let me through security. They said, why are you here? Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to go strangle Whoopi Goldberg. No, can't do that. I'm sorry. This is post 9/11, pal, okay? Oh, all right. You know. Think you're going to get by me with that? Forget it. Okay, I just thought I'd try. All right, get out of here. Go on. All right. You have a ticket? Yes, I do have a ticket. Well, okay, but don't strangle her, whatever you do. Well, I think I will. No, well, we're going to have somebody check you out then. So that's what happened. That's why I didn't go to the Academy Awards last night. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Every year I do it. I'd like to go strangle Billy Crystal. No, no, you can't do that. Are you back again? Every year I just want to go in and strangle the host. And they just, you know, one of these years they're going to let me in, though. One of these years is going to be a slip-up. Somebody's going to fall asleep at the metal detector. Someone's going to take a coffee break. Phil Henry strangled Whoopi Goldberg. Why is it? Well, they fell asleep at the metal detector. Okay. And they'll have to beef up security again. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Anyway, Whoopi's okay. It ain't like the first time I said it. It's just the only thing I don't dig about her is that she will just move it, man. Move it, move it, move it. Go, 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 go. Do the joke and go. Do the joke and go. Do the joke and go. Don't wait for the audience to go, hoo, 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 and your friends and all of that stuff. You know. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I did have a question, though. At the very end of the telecast, she had a coat. She says, "We got your back," and she turns around and says, FDNY, NYPD, and then PAPD. What's that? What does it stand for, Chris?
Chris,
Pennsylvania Police. Because the, well, what about the Washington Police? She forgot. All right, thank you very much, Chris. So the reason why it only said FDNY, NYPD, and PAPD, which, by the way, I didn't know it was called the Pennsylvania Police Department, but thank you. And not Washington PD is because she forgot. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Tim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
How you doing? Hey, you're talking about embarrassing moments
No, no. What I was asking of you guys is okay. To some things that you would probably rather not have in an Oscars telecast.
Oh.
All right. Thanks for calling, though. All right, you got to listen. Chris, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing?
Good.
All right. Hey, I got to agree with you. I don't care for Whoopi Goldberg either. They could do without her very much.
But, it, because you don't like black people?
That's why
I don't want her on there. Huh?
Did I actually hear you say that on radio? Are you not worried about anything?
No, I said it in my bathroom. Yes, I said it on the radio. No, I said it in my bathroom. You just overheard it there in Texas. No, yeah, I of course I'm kidding.
Well, I should hope so.
Really? Well, what if I meant it?
I'm sorry?
What if I meant it?
Well, if you meant it, I don't have any problem with it.
You don't? Oh, really? Because you don't like blacks either.
No, I try to judge people off their character rather than their skin color.
But you don't have any problem with a guy on the radio broadcasting on the marvelous airwaves of KPRC in Houston saying he doesn't want Whoopi Goldberg hosting because she's black. You have no problem with that.
Well, I thought it was a little inappropriate.
Well, it was. I was kidding. I was doing it for comedic effect.
I thought you were. But
all right.
You know, I just wanted to call. I was like, did I actually hear what I thought I heard?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, every now and again, you got to throw something like that out there, and people. Holy jeez, that guy really said that, didn't he?
Because
you know, one of these days, I will actually have the consciousness of the American people, and everybody will call in and agree with me or something if I say something stupid enough. You know.
All right, Phil. Hey, enjoy your show.
All right, man. Thank you. Bye. Did we actually have a conversation about anything? I guess not. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bill, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, this is Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, I was wondering, now, obviously Whoopi shouldn't be asked back next year. I'm wondering, who do you think...
Why shouldn't she be asked back?
Well, she wasn't funny, obviously. I thought the show might be a little classier this year with, you know, the whole Hollywood, all the actors and everything getting a little down... Because of the 9-1-1
everybody duly
thing.
Depressed?
Yeah, you know, just a little, at least
no
a
laughs
little.
At all.
But, I mean, she wasn't funny, and...
I thought she had some funny lines like the Smith family. You know,
you
that
know
was
what?
A good one.
I turned it on, it
Couple
got
of...
into it for about 3 or 4 minutes.
And then turned it off.
Boredom.
Okay, then you didn't even watch it. See you later. All right, let's go to, what am I talking to him for? I didn't watch it. Hi, Rick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Yeah, it's Bill Hendry. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Bill. Great. Listen, the PAPD
stands
for Port Authority Police Department.
Yes, all right, thank you.
You're welcome. I just, you know, I was thinking about what that was when I saw it, too, and
yep.
It took me a minute.
Yeah, and they there were a lot of those guys, they were the first at the scene.
Yes, they were, because the Port Authority Police Department is the police department which patrolled World Trade Center.
Yes, that's all down to the battery there, yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And as far as Whoopi goes, I think for... her to have, you know, handled it the way she did. She did. I mean, she has a writer that writes a lot of her materials for her.
Yes.
And to write as the show goes along and to throw in, you know, some of the zingers that she throws, I thought it was pretty funny.
Okay, cool. I mean, the only thing that the real problem that I've had with her in the past, I think she was okay this year with it, is she drags the show out herself by,
yeah.
After she delivers the joke, then she gets the laugh. then she tries to milk it with a kind of a cutesy poo look and a couple. You know what I'm saying? And that
absolutely.
Yeah, move it, man. Let's just move it along. You know.
You have Robin Williams host it if you want to have that. You know, zip it along.
Yeah, I think guys like Williams and even Steve Martin, they drop the joke and then they move on. They deliver the joke, then they move on. But she has this idea that the audience requires something more from her, like breaking that fourth wall and kind of giving a nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And yeah. I don't know, man, it just makes it wrong for me. But anyway, thank you very much.
She likes to milk it. But anyway, that might have...
Well, we all like to milk it, but... Huh?
I was just going to say that might have had something to do with why last night's telecast was the longest in history.
It was. It was the longest in history? I didn't know that.
Yeah, 4 hours and 17 minutes and some odd. It beat the previous one, which was year 2000 by 8 minutes.
All right. I mean, that's what happens, though, when they go up and they blink the lightning. No, I am not getting off this stage. This is for the first time in my life. Am I wrong? Did she do that? Did Halle Berry do that?
She did. She did. She felt like it was her place in history to take as long as she could because... She felt she was the first African-American woman to win an Oscar.
No. She's the first African-American to win Best Actress.
Right, I understand that. But she was making it sound like she was the first African-American woman to win, period.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, it was historic. But you notice all the time she spent thanking her doctor, her lawyer, her... And by the way, nothing could be more telling than one of the final things she said was, and I'd like to thank my lawyer for putting together this deal.
Exactly.
I don't think I've ever heard anything like that before. Let's just pile on Halle Berry because we don't like black people. All right, thanks a lot, man.
She's half and half, buddy. She's a mulatto.
Thank you. You know how many phone calls I've been answering today because of this whole thing? You can't call her black. She's a mulatto. Look, anybody that's lived any length of time in America knows that if you have one drop of black blood in you, you're black. Did I make up that rule? No, I did not make up that rule. That rule was made up by the American people a long time ago, and everybody's been playing along with that game. You know, African American blood is the only blood that I know of that people try to hide that they have. I'm serious. How many times do you hear people say this? I'm part Indian. Oh, yeah, you're another one, huh? Yeah, I'm one quarter Cherokee. Okay. I'm one quarter, Apache. You know, I got Italian. Yeah, we go back to Sicily. Oh, okay, that's great. What are your people? I'm 146th Scottish. We wore the kilt and everything. And what about you? Oh, we're Hungarian, yeah. And how about you? I have black blood. And, you know... Okay, thank you. Could you use the back door? By the way, did Barbara Streisand look fantastic last night or what? With the hair ironed and the 1972 sort of brooch, that kind of necklace she was wearing right out of a fern bar. And then she had on the dress that was a sort of a shawl-like Woodstock cum Altamont cum, hippie head shop thing. But forget all of that. It's just the use of makeup is great, which was none at all. How many movies was she in with Robert Redford, by the way? Two? That's all I wanted to know, because you'd think that, and now one of the great, my good old pal, like they made 48 movies together, Robert Redford. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, with that whole black blood thing? Nobody ever says, I'm 186 black. No one ever says that. Nobody goes, I'm part African-American. It's just simply the fact. Are you black? Yeah, okay, you go over there. You're black. Now you're black. You put down on the card, you're black. Like if you're filling out something, you're filling out a job application, and you don't have to fill this information out, but they do ask it. Are you Caucasian? Are you African-American? Are you... If you have, let's say, a black grandparent, let's say everybody's white except you got that grandmother was black, what do you think you write down? African-American. Everybody does. Because it's so like they're afraid they're going to be found out. You know, they're afraid that, like, they're going to get an Academy Award or something. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Halle Berry would have been fine, but we'd had Julia Roberts, we'd had Sally Fields, we'd had Roberto Benigni, so it was, you know, she couldn't win. Roberto Benigni. I think I'm being honest when I say, you know, we've already given crap to lots more than Halle Berry. She's just, you know, you got to step up to the plate and take your knocks a little bit here. You can't just go up there, blubber all over the place, and not expect somebody to say something about it. But good for you, Halle. You won. Now get out of here, please. Okay, 1-800-441-449 or 441? Or is it 411? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. By the way, we found a rattlesnake in our garage over the weekend. Okay. No, we did. I ordered a huge dumpster from the rubbish company because we were cleaning out our garage. Because it's spring cleaning. So Marie says, well, let's clean out the garage and we'll just push all the garbage into one pile. I said, what? No, really, we'll push all the garbage into one pile and then we'll put all the good crap back in the garage. And what are we going to do with the garbage? Well, we'll just later we'll get a dumpster. No, says her nervous, anxiety-ridden husband. No. We're going to get a dumpster and get it all in there. All right, go ahead. So I order this dumpster. The guy says, I said, what do you got?
We have 4 by 6 foot, Mr. Henry, of the 10. And then we have the 20 foot by.
So I order this 20 foot dumpster, thinking I don't know what I was thinking, but I just miscalculated 20 feet. The guy shows up with a container from a cargo ship. I mean, it's huge. It's like going all the way down my driveway. That's the bad news. The good news, we filled it up. I went into my garage this weekend and I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. I got to clean this piece of crap. I got to get everything out of here. I want to have a garage like other men. Other men get to have garages. Why don't I? I want to have a garage. My wife's like, well, what are you going to do with it? Well, I don't know what I'm going to do in it. I may go out there and just smoke cigarettes in it, but I want to have a garage. I want to be able to put the cars in the garage. I want to put tools in it. Oh, that's a riot. What tools? What tools do you use? I just want to go in and look at tools like I know what I'm doing with tools. She goes, all right, fine. We get the big dumpster, and we clean out the garage. There is nothing better in the world filling a dumpster up full of crap that you've wanted to throw out for years. My wife's keeping these bed springs and mattress frames. And why do we have this? Because someday, if we buy a resort or a vacation home, we'll have furniture. By then, we can just buy new stuff. If I'm wealthy enough to have a second home, I think I'll be able to furnish it. Well, I just hate wasting. Can't we give it to the school? Oh, come on. Over the years, you've given at least $85 million worth of stuff to the school. And have they ever said so much as a thank you? No. Let's throw it out. What about this computer? I want to give it to the school. We've given them 6 computers. Well, can't we fix it? Fix it? It's a Texas Instruments. It still works on the cassette tape. I said, honey, we got to throw it away. There's some stuff you just have to throw away. If I'm a poor guy, if I am living in the sewer, if I am going to Goodwill every day with 2 hooks for hands, I'd be offended if somebody gave me a Texas Instruments computer. I'd be offended. I'm just using the hooks on the little, how the hell do I work that thing? Just throw it in the garbage. Let's do the poor people of the world a favor and throw this stuff out. Some maggot-ridden mattress. What do you want to do with that? Oh, I think we could donate it to Goodwill. Oh, come on. Even Goodwill will tell you. If you go down to Goodwill, they will tell you, don't dump that crap here. What are you talking about? I don't want it. They will. I remember one guy chased me out of his parking lot one day. I pull up with a truck full of crap. Well, it wasn't crap. It was a mattress and some stuff. No, what are you? No. You ain't leaving that here. We're closed, buddy. Well, can't I just leave it here at the loading dock? You guys can bring it in. No way. You know things must be really good when Goodwill and Vincent DePaul and all of these places are turning stuff away. Now, I'm telling you right now, that's what they're doing. So, as I said to my wife, let's just throw it out. Now I got the 2 younger boys helping us, Alex and Chris, and guess what they're doing? Hey, Mom, can we throw this pot down into that, you know, down a hill and then go down it? Do you want this pot? No. Are we throwing it away? Yeah. Bitchin'. So they take it and like, bang, you know, they're busting stuff. Although the next day my neighbor knocks on the door. Hey, John, how you doing? Great. Listen, I got a busted window. From what? I got a golf ball came down the hill. I know what they were doing. They were using my golf club and doing just a little chipping practice. Nailed this guy's window behind me. So anyway, we're taking this crap, we're throwing it out, and suddenly I hear one of them squeal like a chick and run out of the, and I say squeal like a chick, I don't mean any offense by that. He's just that very high-pitched, kind of prepubescent boy scream. Kind of, you know, and he runs out, and I said, what? Because this is my, you know, this is one of my failings as a parent. I always want them to butch up, and sometimes they're just afraid. He says, there's a snake in there! Oh, bull crap. Yeah, I swear to God, there's a snake! So I go over there in the wall. You know the little recessed rectangular area in the wall with the screen? It's kind of like a venting screen there. Well, sure enough, coiled up on the ledge is a small snake. And I said, now let's not make the mistake we made the last time, boy, because the first thing they want to do, can we get our BB guns? I said, whoa, because the last time we got our BB guns, we killed a king snake, which the animal control people told us was a good snake. King snake is a good snake. It eats rattlesnakes. And we murdered one. And to this day, I have guilt feelings about it. I mean, this, I swear to God, to this day, I think about that poor snake that we killed, and it was a good snake. I said, don't kill it, because we don't know what kind it is. What if it's a rattler? And Alex is telling me, and if it's a baby rattlesnake, they don't develop their rattle until later, and they don't know how to control their venom, so baby rattlesnakes are the most dangerous kind. It says so in this book, Snakes I Have Known. Chapter 3, get out of here, I understand, I believe you. So, I don't know what the hell to do, so I called up Animal Control, L.A. County, over in Calabasas. Now, Los Angeles County, how many people do you think are in L.A. County? What do we got here? 12 million? 13 million? I call up Animal Control.
Animal Control.
Yeah, we got a, what we think is a rattlesnake in our garage, and, well, he's down in Malibu right now. What do you mean, he's down? Well, we got one guy, and his name's Charlie, and he just, you know, he's on an electric bike, and he just goes, well, this is the 12 million people in this county, and Animal Control in Cal, they got one guy. Nice guy, though. Not that I'd know, because he came when I split, because, anyway, I'll get to that later. But I call, I said, well, I think we got a rattlesnake. Uh-huh. And my son wants to kill it, but I don't think we should. Uh-huh. So what do you want me to do?
Well, is there some way you can just coax it into a garbage can? Sir? Well, it's a rattlesnake. I mean, I don't know that I want to do it. I'm going to jeopardize the well-being of... if you take a stick or something, sir.
Well, if I take a stick, can it, like, spring out and hit my arm?
No, sir. He doesn't know which is your arm, the stick or the arm. He's not going to, like, bite the arm.
No, I'm not going to bite the stick. That's a stick. I'm biting the arm.
Like, well, I don't know, okay? Well, sir, look, I'd rather not, all right? All right. You want us to bring the guy?
Yes.
Would you have the guy come out? All right. Well, Charlie's down in Malibu right now. Well, what's he doing down there? Oh, there's some dogs. He's chasing cats or some crap. I don't know. He just goes down there and sits and eats his lunch in the sand. I don't know what the hell he's doing. Well, get him up here, will you? All right. So he says, all right, Charlie, be there in about an hour, sir. In the meantime, just cover up the thing. And I'm not convinced it's a rattlesnake. I think it's a king snake. And I also think it's dead. Because I took a pool cue, this busted old pool cue we had, and I started banging on the wall. I said, it ain't moving. It's not moving at all. Marie says, I think I just saw it wind a little tighter. You know, a snake, when it starts to get scared, it winds itself tighter. I said, I don't think it. So I took a big piece of tile and I put it up against it so the thing couldn't get out. Meantime, I split. I went down to the store, got something. I come back. Well, a guy had come and gone. Sure enough, rattlesnake, baby rattlesnake. And the guy said, you did the exact right thing. If your husband had tried to get that thing out of there with that pool cue, he would be 6 feet under right now. You people don't even, I said, don't be melodramatic. But he got the snake out of there. And now the upshot is I can't send the kids into the garage for Jack. Hey, why don't you go in there and grab me a beer? I don't want to go in there. There's no snake. We got the snake out. No, I'm never going in again. You can't make me. It's child abuse. Oh, come on. It is. It's child abuse. All right. The kids are hip to the child abuse thing now. You can't make me go to that garage. Why? Because if you do, then it's child abuse. You can't make me go to school. How come? It's child abuse. Well, wait a minute. You can't make me do the dishes. So now I got to go in. I got to risk my life going in there, get my own beer, which I should. 1-800-449. I thought we were talking about the Academy Awards. How'd I get from the Academy Awards to rattlesnakes? Oh, well. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Our show engineer is Craig Taylor. He just returned from Tokyo. And we were just talking about the exchange rate. It's 130 yen to a buck. Anyway, he's telling me, in a hotel in Tokyo, the Disney Hotel in Tokyo? The Oriental Hotel in Tokyo. That's not the Disney Hotel. A shot of Jack Daniels was 1,000 yen. So that's around $7 a shot. And I don't think it's any different in America. You go to a good hotel in the United States and get a shot of Jack Daniels, it's going to cost you, well, I don't know. I don't drink that swill. But no, I'm kidding. It's probably around $5, $6. Maybe they jack it up another dollar. I don't know what it is. What are you asking me about whiskey for? Ask me about tequila. But that sounds like a pretty fair rate of exchange, all things considered. See, here's the thing that happened in Fiji. We got a rate of exchange of 2-to-1. I go with $50, I get roughly about $100 Fijian. Problem is, unless I'm shopping in the stores, and we went into town and we would shop, like, I don't know how to put this, and I want to be delicate, but Maria had a girl problem while we were in Fiji, and the Fijian women are extremely modest. So there was something, I don't know what it was, but it was better for me, on her behalf, to go to a Fijian man and say, listen, my wife is having her female time of the month. Can you? Ah, yes, yes. There are tampons in town, about 3 miles, you know, rather than woman to woman. Because when Maria asked one of the Fijian women, hi, I'm really having a problem. She ran out, poor girl. I mean, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to give you my wife's business, but any woman could, this could happen to her. Yes. And she said, is there a store here in the hotel? Or no, you have to go to town. You have to go. Make a long story short. We go into town. Well, actually, what happened was, I said to them, well, listen, can you send somebody to get them? We'll go into town. Well, what happened was, I went into town because I was under the impression that I should go and buy them myself for Maria. And the Fijians had sent somebody into town, and I met her at the store. She goes, Phil, we got this stuff for your wife. I said, I just bought a box myself. Well, now we got double the quantity. But it was a whole thing. Anyway, I went into town and I bought, what's a bottle, pardon me for asking, Janice, but what does a regular box of those cost? $5? I think I paid about $2.50 in Fiji at a regular Fiji store. But what happens is when you go to the, you're in a hotel or you're in a resort or you're wherever you are, naturally they jack it up for the tourists. They're jacking you right up to American rates. You know, so I'm there, I'm going, look at this, I got 2-to-1 in the Fiji dollars. I'll have a margarita, please. That'll be $10. Okay, I'm really getting, this is great, I'm glad I asked. Jeez. Problem with in Fiji, because as you mentioned, Jack Daniels, and according to Craig, by the way, the Japanese, they drink, oh, they don't stop drinking. They drink in the morning, they drink at night, they drink in the middle of the night. They get up, take a leak, have a drink, and go back to bed. They drink until they vomit on the trains, according to my friend Craig. Get a load of that. But in Fiji, I said, well, I know I'm in Fiji. I know how to drink the Fiji rum, but the Fiji rum is, it ain't good. Let me put it that way. It ain't good. Well, then there's tequila, which is the only other thing that I would prefer to drink. And the tequila they have over there is, I've never heard of it. I've been to Mexico, I don't know how many times. I think I've had every good tequila that Mexico produces. I get down to Fiji, they got something called Coyote Tequila. Never heard of it. I wouldn't buy it again on a bet. It's the worst swill. But you know what? They're right. Who goes to Fiji to drink tequila? Only Hendry. Only me. So we had that little that picnic over in that island, Maria and I, and he says, what do you want, Mr. Hendry? Give me a bottle of rum. Kid goes back on the motorboat, brings back this Fiji Bounty rum. Oh, it's terrible. But it's the only thing they got over there. Now, you know, you go to Fiji, drink the beer. How about this? Quit drinking. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Here is Greg. Hi, Greg. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. I had a problem watching the Academy Awards last night. The problem is this. Did anybody else in America squirm at seeing Halle Berry jump up and down about the fact that 70 years later she gets...
Yes, we've been talking about that at great length on the show today. Here is Rick on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, how about Woody Allen? If you're going to rant about people, Woody Allen.
I loved him. I thought he was funnier than hell.
Oh, dude, but the whole thing was supposed to be New York and memories of how it was, and here he is talking about maybe I just don't like him.
I think that's it. You don't like him. Here is Joe. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Joe.
Yes.
How are you?
Phil, good.
Good.
Hey, listen, are you still fielding any questions about the Academy or statements about the Academy?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Terrific. I didn't watch the Academies last night for one primary reason. For the last week or so in the newspapers, local newspapers, it's million-dollar diamond shoes, million-dollar diamond-studded dresses.
Well, they do that every year.
Well, I don't know. What are these people thinking? The unemployment rate, I come from Silicon Valley here, the unemployment rate is higher than it's ever been.
Ever been?
7.5%, Phil.
Where? Oh, in San Francisco?
In the San Francisco Bay Area.
Well,
yes.
That's good for you guys up there.
Why is that?
Well, you know, you're all high on the hog with your Silicon Valley bullcrap. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. So it's all really.
I just thought it was a little insulting to put on a million-dollar pair of shoes and flaunt that stuff.
Well, you know, there is a school of thought that says if I'm poor, I want to be able to get away from my poverty for a while and enjoy at least vicariously some opulence, some wealth, something beautiful.
So the Hollywood persona, is that why
poor people have no problem going into a ornate church. You'd think that the poor would resent, for instance, going into a church with stained glass windows and golden chalices and all this crap. It's because they got to live in a crap hole. Why should they have to go worship in one, you know? And I think people like to see it because otherwise, what else are you looking at? You're looking at your microwave that doesn't work and your Beamer is broken down and the whole Silicon Valley nightmare has erupted. Thanks. 1-800-449-8686. Am I right? I'm wrong? Okay, thanks. No, I just think that what the hell? It's all rented anyway. It's all rented stuff. They don't own that stuff. They put on the big jewels. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know the difference between what's good and what isn't. That's why the most meaningless aspect, not because I think it's wrong, but I just think it's meaningless to me, of the Academy Award coverage is this constant chitter-chat about clothing. Because a woman can walk down that red carpet, boy, she looks fantastic, and all I hear the next day, and did you see that rag she was wearing? All right, I guess I got that wrong. And then I say Bjork's dress looks dopey, and somebody tells, oh, it was just so it was wonderfully exuberant, and it was a beautiful use of color and style. All right. Like, how about the guy last night in the buckskin tuxedo? I said to my wife, I love that. About 16 people go, he looks like a gay Gene Autry in that thing. Come on. Phil, what's wrong with you? We thought you were Butch. How come you never see the comedy writers who win come out and go, oh, Jesus, who do I want to thank? It's always the costume guys. Come on. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.